Wild and Crazy Guys, How the Comedy Mavericks of the 80s Changed Hollywood Forever, by Nick Desemlian. Read for you by Curtis Armstrong. Tragedy is the shattering of the forms and of our attachments to the forms. Comedy, the wild and careless, inexhaustible joy of life invincible. Joseph Campbell. Comedy is the art of making people laugh without making them puke. Steve Martin. Prologue. Nobody saw the punch coming, least of all Chevy Chase. It was February 18, 1978, another ice-cold evening in New York, which had just endured its most ferocious blizzard in 30 years. The three-day nor'easter, dubbed Storm Larry, had closed schools the previous week, and Central Park remained blanketed by snow. Many chose to stay home that night. Outside 30 Rockefeller Plaza in Midtown Manhattan, however, a long line of people waited patiently, stamping their feet and rubbing their hands. After all, freezing weather was well worth braving in order to catch an episode of Saturday Night Live on a Saturday night, live. 8 floors up in the Art Deco skyscraper, throughout the corridors behind Studio 8H, there was a chill in the air that had nothing to do with snow. The incredibly popular comedy troupe known as the Not Ready for Primetime Players were busy prepping for their next big night, the 11th show of Season 3. Dan Aykroyd was getting into the zone for his first sketch, a typically demented number about a salesman pitching a device for crushing moths. John Belushi was stomping through the halls like a buffalo, as always seemingly free of nerves. New boy, Bill Murray, who'd had a shaky start, even receiving hate mail from viewers, was practicing his New England accent. Later that night, he'd be playing Bobby Kennedy in a silly, chowder-packed bit about JFK and RFK trying to bug the home of Martin Luther King. And then there was Chevy. Suave, handsome, and pumped up with braggadocio, Cornelius Chevy Chase had been the first SNL star to really hit it big. In 1975, the cover of New York Magazine had proclaimed him the funniest man in America. The general consensus was that he agreed. He had come to dominate the first year of the show, introducing every episode but one, smirking his self-created catchphrase, "Good evening, I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not," pratfalling up a storm and playing the land shark, a jaws-riffing, oceanic predator who targets sexy women. Then he had disappeared. Officially, his reason for quitting midway through Season 2 was a new relationship. His girlfriend, Jacqueline Carlin, Chase explained, didn't want to move to New York. But his fellow comedians felt he deserted them, headed for L.A. and a slew of movie offers, especially after staff writer Tom Davis reported back to them what Chase had provided as his reason for leaving. Money. Lots of money. So Chase's return to SNL, this time as a guest host, was leaving a bad taste in the collective's mouth. As the cast spent Monday to Friday honing the Chevy-heavy series of skits, as well as spouting nonsense as the Reverend Archbishop Maharishi O'Mulliganstein DDS of the Church of Confusion, he'd be reprising his signature character, President Gerald Ford. There was much whispering behind his back, especially by Belushi. The week almost passed without incident, but on Saturday night, shortly after 11 p.m., it all came to a head. Chevy was en route to the stage for the cold open, clad in his classic Ford costume, suit, tie, brown leather shoes. Not long earlier, Murray had needled him as the two men had makeup applied. Now, when Chase stuck his head into the dressing room where Murray and Belushi were sitting on a sofa, the exchange was even spikier. There was no love